Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for your word and for the way in which your word speaks to our hearts and to our minds. And Father, we ask that you open your word to us this day through the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to hear what you have to say to us, and help us, Lord, to go forth from this place with eagerness to serve you. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 through 10. Please stand in honor of God's word. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are continuing with the whole series on the minor prophets. We have one more to go next Sunday. Has anybody been here for all of them? Just wondering. Several of you have been here for the whole series, and it's been interesting to look at the minor prophets because oftentimes they're minor and we kind of put them aside and we don't really look at them that often. But this morning's passage is from Zechariah. On December 7th, 1988, an earthquake devastated the northwestern section of Armenia, killing an estimated 25,000 people. In one small town just after the earthquake, a father rushed to his son's school, only to find that the school had been flattened. There was no sign of life. But he had no thought of turning back. He had often told his son, "No matter what, I'll always be there for you when you need me." Though his prospects appeared hopeless, the father began feverishly removing rubble from where he believed his son's classroom had been. Other forlorn parents only wailed hopelessly, "My son, my daughter." Some told the father to go home. There was no chance that any of the pupils could be alive. To which he always replied, "I made my son a promise that I'd be there for him anytime he needed me. I must continue to dig." Courageously, he worked alone. No one volunteered to help him. He simply had to know for himself, is my boy alive or is he dead? With strength and endurance beyond himself, the faithful, loving father continued to dig for 8 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours, 36 hours. Then in the 38th hour, as he heaved away a heavy piece of rubble, he heard voices. "Armand," he screamed. A child's voice responded, "Dad, it's me, Armand." "Then I told the other kids not to worry. I told them if you were alive, you'd save me. And when you saved me, they'd be saved. You promised you would always be there for me. You did it, Dad." Moments later, the dad was helping his son, Armand, and 13 more frightened, hungry, thirsty boys and girls climb out of the debris, free at last. When the building collapsed, these children had been spared in a tent-like pocket. When the townspeople praised Armand's dad, his explanation was, "I promised my son, no matter what, I'll be there for you. A loving father kept his promise. In a world where no one seems to keep promises anymore, we have a heavenly Father who always, always, without a doubt, keeps his promises. Today's scripture is taken from the minor prophet Zechariah. Interestingly, Zechariah's name means "the Lord remembers." Zechariah was a young prophet and priest when the Lord called him, and he began to preach shortly after the minor prophet Haggai. Remember, several weeks ago, I preached about Haggai. And remember that the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 BC. And after the people of Judah returned from a 70-year exile, they were quite ambitious in the task of rebuilding the temple. But then problems occurred. There was disillusionment, discouragement, controversy set in. Their spirit was squelched, and they basically dropped the project. And so for 16 years, no one did anything, and no one really cared about it. And Haggai comes on the scene to be used by the Lord. The people of Judah have excuses, and Haggai encourages them to get their priorities straight and to build the temple. If you remember from a few weeks ago, Haggai was on the scene for only 5 months. But there was someone else on the scene as well, and that was the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah was a contemporary of Haggai. And Zechariah, too, encourages the people of Judah to remain pure before God, to put away sin, and rebuild that temple. For Zechariah has apocalyptic visions describing the judgment of Israel's enemies, the blessings to Jerusalem, and the need for God's people to remain pure, avoiding things such as hypocrisy or superficiality and sin of all sorts. It's interesting, however, Zechariah focuses so much on the coming Messiah, the one God would send to save his people and reign over all the earth. These visions that he has, that he proclaims, bring the people hope. And in the last half of the book of Zechariah, the messages focus upon the time after the temple is completed. And he warns that the messianic kingdom would not come immediately. In the meantime, they would face some difficulties. But here is where God keeps his promises. 500 years later, the references to the Messiah that Zechariah speaks of in his book come true. You know, sometimes we don't want to read the Old Testament. We think, oh, it's gory and boring, and we just want to read the New Testament. But you know what? You got to read the Old Testament because it alludes to Christ coming. And Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, has repeated throughout it lots and lots of what would happen when Jesus comes. Our scripture today refers to the coming of the Messiah. In verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Have you ever heard that verse before somewhere? Is it ringing a bell? You're just all kind of looking at me. Here's the key: gentle and riding on a donkey. Palm Sunday. Thank you, Elaine. I'm glad you're awake out there. Palm Sunday. Exactly. That's in Zechariah. 500 years later, these promises are being made complete and fulfilled. That's Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem as the servant king, as he is preparing his way to go to the cross to die for your sins and my sins and the sins of the entire world. Well, then in verse 10, immediately following that verse, it describes Christ's second coming, his return as King of Kings, his victorious, triumphant return. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Zechariah is loaded with lots of details about Jesus' life and ministry. He's described in the book as a cornerstone, as a tent peg, as a battle bow, as a ruler, as a humble king, as righteous, as the branch, as the cleansing fountain, as the shepherd. His betrayal is alluded to in chapter 11. Scenes from the night of his betrayal can be seen in chapter 13. And the closing chapters, we see where Jesus the Messiah will come again in the end and reign triumphantly over God's people, and all will worship exclusively. All will worship the Lord God Almighty, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As Philippians tells us, every knee will bow. What a day that's going to be. Every knee will bow, and every single person, whether they believe in him now or not, every person will recognize he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. What a day that is going to be. Think about that. And 500 years before that, Zechariah is telling them all of this because God keeps his promises true. And some of the gems that we can take from his book are four of them that I'm going to share with you this morning. One is that God is a jealous God, and he is jealous for our devotion. Just as Zechariah reminded the people of Judah of their sinfulness, of how they ignored the prophets, and tells them to turn back to the Lord, we too are reminded of our own sinfulness, our need to seek God daily, our need to do a U-turn. Did you ever go down a road, and this has happened to me on more than one occasion, and you think you're going east, and then you find out about 20 miles later, oh my goodness, I'm going west. And you do a U-turn and get back on the right track. And that's what we are called to do those U-turns in our lives, to head in the direction of Jesus when we are going the total opposite direction. He calls us to do a U-turn and head to him, return to the Lord and his ways. The second gem that we can take is that God empowers us to do his work. Remember the people of Judah. When they returned, they had begun to work on the temple, but then they kind of became disillusioned, and they were trying to do it in their own strength. And that did not work. It did not work. And 16 years later, the governor is told by Zechariah to hear these words from the Lord, "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Those are some good words for all of us to hear, because oftentimes we can try to do the work of the Lord in our own strength, only to find that we become exhausted, frustrated, and lacking any zeal at all. We kind of go through the routine, and it becomes a boring routine that we go through. And the prophet Zechariah, as he told those people, told that governor, this is how you're going to rebuild that temple. It's not by any might or power you have, but it is by my spirit. And when we say yes to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, his Holy Spirit dwells within us. And when we trust in him and his spirit, it is amazing what he can do in and through us. We can accomplish far greater things in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can do it with much greater ease than in our own strength and in our own ways. Third gem, Christ has come as a servant to die for us, but he will return as a victorious king. And as I said earlier, what a glorious day that is going to be. I don't know about you, but you know, our world today is a little depressing. Amen? It really is. I mean, you know, our nation is depressing. But you know, one day Jesus is going to make it all right. When he returns, it is going to be one glorious day. And all things will be made right. And the fourth gem is that God keeps his promises. And our ultimate destiny is in his hands. That's what Zechariah was trying to tell the people of Judah. Hang on. Hang on there. They had to hang on the people for 500 years to see the promises come true. And you and I, we are in this waiting period of time. We've already known Christ has come. Christ died for our sins. Christ rose again. But now we await his coming again, his victorious coming again. Because our destiny is in his hands. I was at the Cove this past week. I loved being there. I heard Bob Russell speak. Many of you remember Bob Russell was here a couple years ago. It was a great time at the Cove. And I love Gigi Graham. She's the oldest of Billy and Ruth Graham's children. She refers to not be called the oldest or the eldest. She refers to be called the one whom daddy and mother loved the longest. But she always shares the story. Towards the end of Billy Graham's life, when he was in bed the majority of the time and was very, very frail, and she would go up to visit him at the home, the family home. And on one particular visit, he was very frail, and she was thinking he was asleep, and so she was trying to sneak out of the house quietly when he said, He called her back in, and she said, yes, Daddy. He said, I have something to tell you. And she said, yes, and he said, focus. She says, okay, Daddy, focus. What am I supposed to focus on? And he said, Jesus and the cross. And you know what? That's where our focus needs to be. Because God keeps his promises. He keeps his promises throughout all of Scripture. And he keeps his promises for you and me that one day we will see him face to face. And until that time, we got to keep our focus on Jesus and the cross and all that that means. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for these minor prophets and all the wealth that they share with us, Lord, that so often we overlook. Lord, we thank you for the prophet Zechariah. We thank you for the way in which he shared 500 years in advance what would happen when Jesus came. When Jesus came the first time, and when Jesus will come back again. Help us, O Lord, help us each and every day to be devoted to you, to do those U-turns to get our lives in order. Help us to trust in your Holy Spirit, to do your work rather than trying to do it in our own strength, which leaves us frustrated, sometimes angry, sometimes sad, sometimes disheartened. Help us, Lord, to remember that you will return and it will be a glorious day when you ride victorious into this world again. But in the meantime, help us to focus. Help us to focus every day on Jesus and the cross and all that means. And help us to go out into a world to share all that that means. For we ask and pray these things through Jesus' precious name. Amen.